bridge as a symbol of the new millennium.
Walking off today, the fans told Kevin Keegan that maybe it was time to go.
If you are caught in possession of drugs, you will face the fixed penalty of a £100 fine.
We hope and believe we have elected the next president of the United States.
Today, the external structure of the dome has been built. It is on time, on track, and on budget.
I'm Steve Punts.
And I'm Hugh Dennis.
And welcome to It's Been a Bad Week, our weekly trawl through the newspapers, websites and scribbled ravings of the world as we attempt to cheer you up by proving that there's always someone worse off than yourself, even if you're Al Gore or you've just booked Eminem for the Children's Royal Variety Performance.
Once again, we seat ourselves in the boat of humour, push out onto the river of current affairs and place the oars of satire into the murky water that is the script.
As ever, the programme would drift alarmingly without a special guest to sit at the back telling us where to go. So to guide us this week, we're delighted to welcome back a man who's been in that seat a couple of times before, when he's not on the telly, talking about obscure 1970s board games and pop records. You've seen the programmes. He's the one who's not Gail Porter. It's Stuart McConey!
So, Stuart, have you had a bad week?
Yes, in common with everyone at this time of year. Of course, I've had a terrible week because I've spent it Christmas shopping, like most people. And I swore this year that I wasn't going to run the gauntlet of the high street anymore. I was going to, rather like Brains from Thunderbirds, presumably, I was going to do everything on the internet. But the kind of food you need at Christmas, because you notice that for Christmas, 70s food reasserts itself at Christmas. You never have it from one year to the next, but at 70s, at Christmas time, you need Tia Maria, Matchmakers, Advocar, products you weren't even sure they made anymore. And you can't get those.
Meltis Newbury fruit.
That's right. That's insane. With that liquefied centre. But so you can't get those on the internet, obviously. So until someone invents cheesefootballs.com, I'm still going to have to do it the hard way with those mouth-breathing 14-year-olds and Dixons. Yes, I've had a hideous week, thanks.
Also with us, we have the Cox pair of John Coulter and Mitch Benn, and the Coxless, Laura Shaver.
And not forgetting, of course, as ever, we have Van Man. Van Man, please give us the sound of Prince William chopping wood in Chile.
I'm sorry, that was actually the sound of reviews of Jeffrey Archer's acting. Now, have you left a £4 million catamaran in the middle of the Atlantic? Have you just bought a basement flat in Worcester? Or are you simply a Spice Girl? If so, we're here to cheer you up as we attempt to find the winner of
the Worst Week of the Week Award, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis.
But first, as ever, time for our roundup of stray bad weeks that we call Bad Week Roundup.
Bad Week Roundup.
But with some echo. Yes, genuine news items. Genuine news items we couldn't fit in anywhere else. Starting with
Zodiac Child Warp and the Mum's Reaction.
Two astrology fans in Adelaide, Australia have christened their daughter Capricorn Aquarius, Pisces Aries, Taurus Gemini, Cancer Leo, Virgo Libra, Scorpio Sagittarius Smith.
We are not amused.
Julie Thackeray, who until this week was one of the Queen's dressers, has been demoted to cleaning and packing duties following a serious breach of the palace's code of conduct. She wore a duffel coat. We say this rule is unfair, coming from someone who opened Parliament last week dressed as a large mobile wedding cake.
My thinking, fellas.
Thick ropes have been suspended across a road through Brandon Wood near Coventry as a bridge for dormice. Unfortunately, if too many dormice cross the rope at once, it wobbles and has had to be closed while £1 million worth of repairs are carried out.
Pat on his back.
Patrick Swayze, the glossy gobbed, constantly surprised-looking film star, is recovering in hospital after surgery for a painful double hernia. So is goodbye dirty dancing, hello hurty dancing. We are the two Ronnies. Good night.
Suits you, sir.
According to university researchers, people who like chicken noodle soup are stubborn and likely to go to church, while those who like vegetable are unspontaneous and like to read home magazines. This sort of thing always makes me lapse into insane ranting about rubbish research that people actually get paid to do. Do you hear me? These people are paid. What sort of society is this? It makes me so mad. But then I would think that because I like tomato and basil.
Now let's get on with choosing our first candidate in
round one.
Yeah, but I've got a bad week for a guy called Walter Wapshot. He lives on a trailer park in Maryland. He has a bit of a combustible relationship with his wife. They argue regularly, it seems, but not those kind of arguments so beloved by sitcoms. You know, the ones that go,
darling, Have we got any cornflakes?
Oh, they're in the cupboard. If you ever put them away, you'd know.
Sorry.
Now, these arguments seem to get going a bit more quickly, rapidly moving to subjects he didn't think were under discussion. Now, these arguments are more like...
Honey, do we have any cornflakes?
Oh, why did you sleep with her?
That kind of thing. And they often seem to end up with violence, as it did on this occasion, because Walter ended up with a laceration to his head, as he would if your wife had hit you with a broken bottle. But, as in the way of these things, as soon as she'd done it, she regretted it, and called the ambulance service in the hope they'd be able to staunch the flow of blood that was running down Walt's face. But even though he obviously needed stitches, Walt refused to go to hospital.
This 6-inch gash, it's nothing.
The ambulance men explained to his wife they couldn't force him to go, they had no power. And then, in fact, the only circumstances under which they could take a patient against his will was if he was unconscious. So, she thought about it for a while. Looked at the cuts. Looked at Walt. Considered her deep love for him. Thought about how the cut might be more serious than he thought. About how she couldn't let anything happen to him. How she must do something for him. So she did. This. She hit him over the head with a saucepan. And the ambulance men took him away. And the policeman took her away.
Stuart, you have a candidate for the world's worst week, I believe.
Yes, I do. Now, country folk are always telling Tonys like me, you don't understand our country ways, leave us alone. And this story proves that they're absolutely right. I've had to concede that they're right. This is the story about the group of elderly bowls players who were stunned when a semi-naked detective burst into their village hall, clinging onto a burglary suspect. You may have seen this in the news. Charles Cadwallader, or it is he, 43, wearing nothing but a short coat when he surprised the 15 mostly female carpet bowls players at the village of Rabness near Harwich, Essex. Now, already, the man's called Cadwallader in Rabness. This is an Agatha Christie offcut, isn't it, that never made the grade. He's 15 stone, he's 6'3", and he said, in his own words, I was woken by a bang. I sneaked downstairs in a pair of pyjamas, and as I was about to go out, a hand came through the broken window in the door. I caught up with one of the burglars in the middle of a field. In the struggle, I lost my pyjama bottoms. And by the time I got to the village hall, the coat was half cut off. I was covered in blood and mud. They were a bit stunned, really. I knew three or four of them, but they didn't recognise me at first. So let's recap. Now, what intrigues me about this story is that he's been woken up. He chases the burglars, and he bursts in on the carpet bowls team, practising. So there's only two possible connections. Either this man goes to bed very early, or there are all-night carpet bowls sessions going on in Harwich that we know nothing about. But then his final statement is just majestic. I was wearing a shooting coat, which comes halfway between the waist and the knees. It was almost long enough. Let's just think that through. I shan't stand up, but let's think it through. It was almost long enough, he said, presumably with a little twinkle in his eye. I managed to persuade a chap to zip it up. So leaving aside the issue of who wears zip-up pyjamas these days anyway.
Lying zip-up pyjama man.
Yes.
You call him, I think. Excellent. It was a bad week for criminals in Northamptonshire. Corby, to be precise. Corby, Northampton. Corby has a lot of criminals. There's a law there that you can go to prison for having badly creased trousers. A couple of travelling businessmen laughing there. Everyone else completely baffled. Oh, well. Anyway, the police in Corby have come over all seasonal. And what they've done is they've sent out Christmas cards to everyone they've got an arrest warrant out on, asking them to turn themselves in. That'll work. Isn't that a lovely idea?
At Christmas time, when the snow lies thick, we're thinking of you down the nick. As you trim the tree and light the lights, watch out, we've got you banged to rights. On Christmas morn at break of day, we'll smash the door down and take you away. So turn yourself in, son, do what's right, or we'll come down your chimney and kick you to shit.
Yes, all right, thank you very much. Thank you.
I've got a bad week for a Colombian called Jose Gomez, a drugs mule. His plan was simple. In his native Colombia, he filled condoms with cocaine and then swallowed them so they couldn't be detected. And then he boarded an international flight to Melbourne, Australia. Careful not to eat any airline food, which might cause everything to come out too quickly. It all appeared to be going to plan.
On arrival at Melbourne, again, his luck was in. Not many customs officials about. The place was practically deserted. Only one thing left to do for a clean getaway. Fill in the customs form they give you. Find the question, are you carrying any illegal substances? And tick, no. Home and dry. Simple. He didn't manage it. He ticked yes. And was arrested by a large Australian policeman with a gun and a fierce dog. At which point the evidence of his crime emerged pretty quickly, I imagine.
There's been disturbing reports all this week about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, normally I wouldn't hear a word against Big Arnie, but frankly, he's been displaying a, shall we say, less than gentlemanly attitude to TV interviewers this week. But let's let the Sun tell the story. And you know the way that the tabloid papers often put some words in capitals, just for emphasis. We're going to try and recreate that effect for you in sound.
Randy Arnold Schwarzenegger has been at it again. This time fondling Big Breakfast host Denise Van Outen. He stroked her.
Thigh!
And slapped her on the...
bum!
Before brushing his arm against her...
chest!
I think the posher papers should use the same technique.
The Prime Minister returned from the Nice summit having secured...
substantial...
opt-outs for Britain in crucial areas of economic policy, including the vexed issue of...
qualified majority voting!
Which was...
thrashed out
in an
all-night session
in which the chief French negotiator had kept her cards close to her.
Turn to page 2, column 4.
So there we have it, section 1. And Steve, it's up to you to decide.
Yes, very simple decision this week, because I have to go for Stuart's lying zip-up pyjama man. I think that's I'm not quite sure who it was a bad week for, but he is quite definitely finalist number 1.
So right, Zip Up Pajama Man goes forward to...
the Worst Week of the Week Award, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis.
Now, Mitch, I believe you have a song for us.
Craig from Big Brother's Singles come out, so it's definitely a bad week for somebody. at first I thought it might just be another bad week for the credibility of the recording industry. Then somebody said it was probably going to be Christmas number 1, so I thought it was a bad week for record shop workers. And then I actually heard it and realised it was a bad week for people with ears.
At this time of my career, I'm still not sure why I'm here, but I need something to do, so I'll sing this song for you. It was me what won that show, so I've got a face, you know, and I can sort of sing a bit, so I'm sure to have a hit. It's all in a good cause, they're probably not yours. While everyone's me fan, I'm going to milk it while I can. Christmas will be great, so I'd like to nominate everyone to buy my song, cause I won't be here for long. At this time of my career, it is starting to be clear, this publicity won't last, so I'd better cash in fast.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Now, moving on, we come to our second selection of candidates in...
round 2!
And it was a bad week for Jamie Oliver, because Sainsbury's won't use his recipe for roast turkey, because he apparently recommends putting the stuffing inside the bird. And because of some namby-pamby modern hygiene rule, apparently you can't do that anymore, or you die quicker than you can say Edwina. So anyway, that was quite a bad week. But actually, the only point of having this story in at all is that any story involving a TV chef and the words bird and stuffing is quite clearly a good excuse for Mitch to do his South Park impression. Go, chef!
Hello, children. Let me tell you the safe way to stuff a bird. See, you gotta do it right. You gotta take the giblets out now. They make gravy, that's the best. They make like Arnold Schwarzenegger, rub garlic on the breast.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much.
I've got a very bad week for the Oslo-based company Nordic Water Supplies. They've lost some of their water near Cyprus, and they can't find it. You see, their business is to transport fresh water from Norway to arid areas, and they do this by means of a giant bag that contains 5 million gallons, which they tow across the oceans with a tug. Except in this case, the huge bear made a bid for freedom somewhere in the Med. And they've got no idea where it is. No idea at all. They've searched all over the Med. They just can't find it. What with it being water and the Med being water and everything. They're not thinking straight. What they need to do is to get into the mind of the bag, right? What would you do if you were a giant, clear plastic bag full of water that had just escaped? Well, first, you'd go somewhere inconspicuous, somewhere you wouldn't be obvious. Exactly, you'd hang out with all the other plastic bags near the sewage outlet of a Mediterranean beach. And then you'd wait for help, for someone with a plan. I can see you're ahead of me. If Nordic Water want that bag back, they need to post men at all the air and seaports and tell them to be on the lookout for a fairground owner with an enormous goldfish.
Philadelphia, a lovely word, comes from the Greek, means city of spreadable cheese. It was a bad week for motorists, ladies and gentlemen, for motorists in Philadelphia. This story comes from the Ananova Internet news site, and we quote,
car drivers who live in a Philadelphia apartment complex are being terrorized by an angry peacock, which kicks their tires and then runs away.
Now, pardon me, but how bad can that be? Really, I mean, I know peacocks can be a bit intimidating, but surely if you're securely locked inside a ton and a half of metal, a peacock's options are limited. The modern car tyre can surely withstand a kick from an ornamental bird. Anyway, it gets worse. The story goes on.
Staff from a nearby zoo who was sent to capture the bird failed because it saw them coming and hid.
It hid, ladies and gentlemen, a peacock. Have you seen one? Half its body is bright blue and it has a vast multicoloured fantail 6 feet across. The only place it could hide successfully would be on Elton John's head at a fancy dress party. How on earth can it hide in an urban street? Hey, maybe it just knows how to blend in.
You mess with me, I'll kick your tire. I'll put a big feather up your way. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to find Denise Van Outen and get jiggy with it.
There's only one solution to a problem, Bird. Send in the Queen.
Man, I'm not afraid of no Queen. She ain't going to... Hey, get your hands off my neck!
Come on, then. Who else wants some?
Now, Stuart, your candidate for this round.
This is a piece of market research, a survey conducted by presumably the same people who did that soup survey. A survey of English and Scottish Premiership clubs done by these market researchers. And amongst the astonishing findings are that Leeds United's followers drink more beer than Chelsea supporters. Although I assume that if it had been Chelsea supporters, I'm sure drink a great deal more white wine spritzers than Leeds United supporters. Aston Villa's fans are the sweatiest. Presumably then there was a question on the survey that said, are you sweaty? To which Aston Villa supporters,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, when which that's happened, their honesty is admirable.
Bunch of Brummies. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, I'm very smelly, mate. Yeah.
Well, they ought to be applauded, those plucky Midlanders. Also, Arsenal fans are the most likely to be classical music lovers and play bridge. Because, of course, anyone who's ever stood on the North Bank will know that it's contract bidding up there, a frenzy of contract bidding. And, of course, those famous songs of the North Bank, oh, it's all gone quiet over there, rather like the mysterious pianissimo conclusion of Schoenberg's Beklagte Nacht. And you're not singing anymore, Maria Callas, obviously.
Well, splendid, eclectic selection of candidates there. Hugh, who do you pick from that lot?
I think I'm going to go for Stuart's Aston Villa fans. Mm. You know, we're the Villa and we're proud of perspiration.
Smelly football supporters join lying zip-up pyjama man as our first two finalists in this week's...
The Worst Week of the Week Award, awarded weekly on a week-by-week basis.
But before we move on to our next round of candidates, Mitch is going to sing a festive song for us.
It has been a bad week for the neighbours of Robbie Raggio, a self-made millionaire who has decorated his Mock Tudor mansion in Hove with over 1,000 fairy lights, a pair of giant Santa boots, and a 9-foot plastic snowman. Now, despite the fact that Robbie's light show is in aid of charity, it has so offended the denizens of Hove that he's actually been receiving hate mail. Now, I don't know, it's a vast waste of money and energy, a vulgar display of wealth. Surely this is what Christmas is all about.
I'm sorry to say, the people round here are rather restrained with their Christmas cheer. The odd sprig of holly, a small bag of nuts, they're all a bunch of middle-class misery cuts. Cos I'm having a massive Christmas, whatever me neighbours say. You can see it from miles away, and I'll force them to be merry till the 6th of January. Cos I'm having a massive Christmas, whatever these Scrooges think. I've got a thousand little lights going blink, 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 cos I love Christmas, me. There ain't any snow to make a snowman, so I had an electronic one imported from Japan. And in my front yard, there's a giant redwood and 2,000 watt speakers playing Slade and Roy Wood, cos I'm having a massive Christmas in spite of this miserable lot. And they're invited if they like it or not, because me fairy lights are certain to be glaring through the curtains. And I'm having a massive Christmas, I'm just trying to cheer up the place with the kind of decorations you can see from space. Cos I like Christmas, me. Ho, ho! I like Christmas, me.
Hey, we're with you, Hove Man. You tell him. So, now let's move on to
round three.
Now, here is a bizarre story from Mexico. And brilliantly, being from Mexico, it involves a bandit. He was known only as
the Thief.
And why, ladies and gentlemen, was he known as
the Thief?
Let me explain.
The Thief
tried to rob a newspaper photographer in Mexico City. But when the photographer explained that he had no cash on him,
the Thief
said,
okay, take my picture instead.
So the photographer did just that. He took a picture of
the Thief.
With a broad smile on his face, waving his gun in the air like an old bandolero. And then
the Thief
just ran away, leaving the bemused photographer standing there. Now, I don't profess to be a master criminal or anything, but surely, on page one of the Dorling Kindersley How to Be a Criminal pop-up book, it must surely read, do not have your picture taken by a national newspaper photographer during an attempted robbery. Or you might find yourself on the front page of El Telegrafo the next morning. Which is exactly what did.
Now, I've got a bad week for a schoolboy called Nicholas Lawson from South Fields. Now, Nicholas is very conscientious, wants to read law at university, in as much as anyone reads anything at university. So, Nicholas was following his solicitor around South Fields Magistrates Court when this happened.
Yeah, son, where do you think you're going? Your case is up.
At which point, he was whisked into the dock and put on trial for
a crime he did not commit.
No, what actually happened is that by the time the magistrates had asked Nicholas to confirm his name and address and stuff, the solicitor he was shadowing, Mr. Brown, had noticed he was missing and ran into the court shouting, stop, stop, you've got the wrong man. It's just so British, isn't it? As is the next bit. The magistrates took no notice of Mr. Brown and sentenced Nicholas to 4 years in Dartmoor. No, I made that bit up. I think.
Now, we turn to Mr. McCain. Stuart, can you be the first guest ever on the show to make the treble? Who's your last candidate?
This is someone else, Steve, who needs a copy of that Dorling Kindersley book on how to be a master criminal. This is a man from Madison, Wisconsin, a would-be counterfeiter from Madison, Wisconsin, who's called, apparently, Michael Schaffer. Although, I think you understand why I refer to him as Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. Because he was hanging around the local printing store, looking at the colour charts, comparing the green shades with a dollar bill that he was holding up. Not surprisingly, the authorities picked him up. I just thought it was a fun, lovely vignette, having your mind at the Pronto print in Madison. Guy going, no, what have you got here? Avocado? Harvest Meadow? Hey, missy, do you have one called Dollar Bill Green?
I've got a bad week for Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend, Brazilian model Gisele Bündchen.
Currently in Rio de Janeiro, making speeches promoting the fashion industry, she's having to relearn Portuguese, her own language, the language of her parents, the language she spoke for the first 18 years of her life, because she's forgotten it. What with being abroad so often and everything. Bright girl. Mind you, it's an easy thing to do. Forget the right word, get your wobes middled up, and you become a laughing stoke. I know, I've been there. And the two Ronnies made
a what? Sketch?
No,
what? An airplane?
No, a
what? A mess of it? A big mess of it?
No, a living from it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Now, we've got another story for music-loving Arsenal fans here. This is a story from Le Matin, French newspaper. Montreux, Switzerland is the scene. The scene of a bizarre incident at the home of opera singer Barbara Hendricks, Jimmy's posher sister. And what happened was, she was practising one day, bit of vibrato, few arias, having a practice, when all of a sudden, a stray cow plunged through a fence and into her swimming pool. That's it, and I don't have anything to say about that story. In fact, the only reason, frankly, that this story is in the show at all is that Van Man got very excited about it. He spotted possibilities, he's been beavering away in there in the van with sound effects and his tape recorder, and I think he's ready to play us the result. The whole incident recreated in Dolby surround sound. Take it away, Van Man.
And 2.5 twist double somersault with pike. Let's see what the judges make of that.
Fan Man, I thought I was actually there. Astonishing. And nice to know that she practices with a full orchestra, even at home. That's great.
So, Stuart, as if I need to ask, you know, the getting all three of your candidates really is down to you, because it's your choice now.
Well, pretend you're a Supreme Court judge.
No.
No, I think that would be a gross misuse of my privilege here. So I'm going to pick, because if there's not a good Ruth Rendell on at Christmas Eve, the details of this can haunt me as I try and puzzle them out. I'm going to pick Flying Cow Opera Woman.
Flying Cow Opera Woman.
So now, audience, here's your reminder of our three candidates from our guest announcer.
Okay, is it going to be number one, zip-up pajama man? Maybe number two, sweaty Villa supporters? Or maybe number three, flying cow opera woman?
So, while our audience make up their minds which of those three is the winner, it has, of course, been an extremely bad week for Al Gore, who's finally lost his challenge for the White House. The good news for Al, and this is absolutely true, is that an American radio station has offered him his own talk show.
KJR, Channel 95.
Well, hello there, good evening, and weekend. Welcome all you hanging chads out there to my very own show, Al Gore Talks Backing Down. And tonight's topic for discussion is, why didn't you spineless jerks vote for me? And in the second hour, it's so unfair, why can't I be president? After that, I'll be talking to George W. Bush and shouting, you damn cheat, you've taken my job! Then I'll be asking him some pretty difficult questions, like, how'd you spell potato?
Okay, Ronnie Scott, people, it's voting time. Hit those electronic keypads and make a hapless person happy. Van Man, the drum roll, please.
And the winner is, standing proud in rubbness, it's Lying Zip-Up Pajama Man.
So, congratulations to Zip-Up Pajama Man, and you win this week's special Bad Week prize, a box set of the complete works of Schoenberg and a season ticket to the Arsenal. Yay!
And that's it. Thanks for listening, and goodbye!
You have been listening to It's Been a Bad Week, which featured Steve Pumps, Hugh Dennis, Laura Chavin, John Coleshaw, Mitch Van, and special guest Stuart McConey. It was written by Steve Pumps, Hugh Dennis, Steve Knight, Mike Whitehill, and Paul Powell. The broadcast assistant was Trudy Stevens, the producer was Dick Tanner, and the executive producer was Jess Max. It's Been a Bad Week is a Celebrot production for BBC Radio 2.